Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the 2023 Leapfrog Hospital Survey Town Hall Call. This is the second hospital survey focused town hall call this year. I'm going to give folks just another minute to join, and then we will get started. While we wait, I'm going to go ahead and advance one slide and just put up some of the webinar instructions and reminders. So first, make sure that you're able to access the audio using either computer audio or join by phone using the dial-in information. As always, we're going to go ahead and reserve that Zoom chat function only to report technical issues. Questions should be directed to the Zoom Q&A, which I'm going to show you in just a minute. And as always, the slides and the recording will be available following today's session on our website, and the URL is right here at the bottom of the screen. So I'm going to leave this up. I'm going to give everyone just about 30 more seconds to join, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Okay, well, thank you again for joining us for the 2023 Leapfrog Hospital Survey Town Hall Call. My name is Missy Danforth. I'm the Vice President for Healthcare Ratings at Leapfrog. Hopefully by now, all of you have accessed the audio, either using your computer audio or joining by phone. As a reminder, we're gonna reserve the Zoom chat function to report technical issues only. As always, you'll be able to access the slides, the recording, and a transcript from the Q&A session today on our website, and the URL is right there at the bottom of the screen. And I'll leave this up for just a second so you can make a note of that. Throughout today's presentation, please submit your questions using the Zoom Q&A function. If you look at the bottom of your screen, you should see that Q&A icon. You can see it here. Once the icon has been selected, a Q&A box will appear for you to type your questions. Everyone on today's webinar are going to be able to review your questions and answers to those questions throughout the presentation. So if you have a question that you don't want everyone to see, go ahead and submit that to our help desk. You're going to be receiving responses in real time from one of our team members, so pay attention. You'll be able to see when someone's picked up the question and starts typing. In addition, some of the questions may be answered live, so pay attention to that as well. Following the presentation, we will also have a live Q&A session. So you can use your raise hand icon at the bottom of your screen. You can see that pictured here. I'll be able to call on people one-on-one and unmute you if you wish to ask your question verbally instead of entering it into the Q&A box. So I'm just gonna leave these instructions up. Again, we have many of our actually phenomenal help desk staff on the call with us today, ready, able, excited to answer all your questions throughout the presentation. So you definitely don't need to leave them to the end. But if you do want to ask your question live, we will leave a few minutes for that, and I'll be able to unmute you, and I'll be looking for those raised hands. So let's get started. So hopefully many of you are familiar with our annual update process. It starts in August and September, which always feels a little bit odd because we're squarely in the middle of the current survey and already planning for the next survey. But that is when we start working with our survey team. And at this point now, our 12 national expert panels to set goals, review new measures, review changes to endorsement status of NQF endorsed measures, consider member and hospital recommendations for the previous year. And we also do a pretty significant analysis of all the help desk tickets that we receive so we can actually quantitatively analyze the number of questions we're getting related to specific questions or sections or scoring algorithms or measure specifications and do a deeper dive into those areas to see if clarifications, new FAQs or other kinds of updates or refinements are needed. In November, we publish the proposed changes for the upcoming survey, and we hold a 30-day public comment period. Hospitals and other stakeholders, including our own employer and purchaser members, are invited to share comments and feedback on the proposed changes. This year, we received nearly 200 comments, so we had great engagement. In January, we hold a pilot test so we can send hard copies of the new survey and track changes and the scoring algorithms to about 30 different hospitals and health systems nationwide. Any hospital can volunteer for the pilot We select new hospitals every year to give everyone an equal chance. And it is a great opportunity to take a look at our changes and to provide even additional feedback beyond just that public comment period. In February and March, we are hard at work programming the online survey tool and updating all of the survey materials, including all of those Excel workbooks that we make available to help data collection. We also publish a summary of changes, and it's often helpful to review that summary of changes before the survey opens, because a lot of times we will propose something in November, and based on public comments and pilot test feedback, we will make changes to what we proposed, and the way to find out about that is reviewing that summary of changes. And then, as always, the survey itself launches on April 1st, so we're about a month in. We've already seen hospitals busy at work, starting surveys, taking CPOE tests, asking questions through the help desk. So it's been a great year so far. We have some very audacious goals for our survey. Every year we're looking to expand the survey to more and more hospitals around the country. And that particularly includes rural hospitals and also pediatric hospitals, where LeapFrog's national membership of employers have covered lives in all of these places. For many, many years, we've done a lot of work with one of our founders, FedEx. They actually have an employee in every zip code in the United States, right? So they're not just focused on large metropolitan areas, but also hospitals in rural areas, including critical access hospitals who are caring for their employees and their other beneficiaries. And they're very, very interested also in pediatric hospitals where they're paying for a lot of that care. We had record participation last year with over 2,300 hospitals submitting a survey, and we're looking to break that record again this year. We're also very focused on keeping the reporting burden as low as possible. We continue to align with other national measurement initiatives. So if you're collecting data for NHSN, CMS, the Joint Commission, SCS, Vaughan, we will take that data. In some cases, we get it directly from those organizations. For example, in the case of NHSN and VON. If you're working with a vendor to do data collection for LeapFrog, we always invite you to let us know that. We can build out the partnerships and relationships we have with entities collecting data for you all, so we can take out the middleman and get that data directly from someone else. With your permission, of course, we're happy to do that and are continuing to look for opportunities to lower that reporting burden. We want to include cutting edge measures that are going to improve safety, quality, and efficiency, and also maintain a consistent measurement structure so that you can actually use the survey results for benchmarking and improvement purposes. If we change the questions or the scoring algorithms every year, it would be really difficult for you to sort of have that goalpost in mind and see improvement as you work towards it. So we are committed to trying to leave questions and scoring algorithms in place typically for 3 years, sometimes even longer. And then finally, the most important thing we do is our commitment to you is once you do the data collection, ensure the data is accurate and submit the survey, we then pick up the baton and work to ensure that the survey results are actually used by employers, purchasers, payers, and value-based payment programs, other kinds of recognition and accountability programs. For example, our director of healthcare ratings just participated in a wonderful event put on by the Greater Philadelphia Business Coalition on Health in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where they had panels of hospitals and ASCs talk about their experience participating in our surveys. And it was just a great opportunity to highlight organizations locally who are using the survey in really meaningful ways to improve patient care. And a lot of the regional leaders and other organizations we work with are doing similar things. The hard copy and the survey itself is divided up into 9 sections. The survey is available in a Word document, in a PDF, and the online survey tool in those documents typically match each other word for word. Every section of the survey begins with some general information that outlines our standard, and then moves on to reporting periods for each set of questions. The survey questions themselves, which may include endnotes, which should be reviewed before you answer the questions. The affirmation of accuracy that must be completed by your hospital's CEO or someone designated by your CEO. And then finally and importantly, the reference information that includes measure specifications and answers to frequently asked questions. If you're working with a large team, which hopefully you are, to help do data collection. So maybe you have someone responsible for maternity care and someone else responsible for ICU staffing and someone else responsible for adult and pediatric complex surgery. It is vitally important that you give them not just the survey questions themselves, but also the reference information and the scoring algorithms. It's also very important that you're reviewing this information with your administrative team before you actually hit that submit button. We can do a lot to help support your internal survey participation processes and are happy to offer any technical support you might need. The sections on the survey this year start with the hospital profile, where you can give us some demographic information as well as your contact information. Section one is focused on basic hospital information and also includes billing ethics and informed consent. Section two, medication safety. We're going to talk about, a lot about that today. Section three, adult and pediatric complex surgery. That's where we have those hospital and surgeon volume standards. Maternity care is section four. Section five is ICU physician staffing. Section six is patient safety practices. We're going to talk a lot about nursing workforce today. Section seven is managing serious errors. Section eight is pediatric care, and section nine is outpatient procedures. So you may think to yourself, wait a minute, last year outpatient procedures was section 10, what's going on? We made a structural change this year and we moved all of the medication safety measures into section two. So now they're not spread out between section two and section eight, and that's why we're down to just nine sections. Some submission guidelines that you should all be aware of. This year, 2023, we've increased the number of minimum required sections. So this year, section one, basic hospital information, as well as section two, medication safety, which as I mentioned now includes CPOE and BCMA and MedRec. Section four, maternity care. Section five, ICU staffing. Section six, patient safety practices. And section seven, managing serious errors, are all required in order for that submit button to activate on the online survey tool. Hospitals are strongly encouraged to submit all sections of the survey and can indicate within a section if a measure doesn't apply, but you can't skip it. So if you're a freestanding pediatric hospital and you don't deliver babies, don't skip section four. Just go ahead, click into the section, answer no to that first question, affirm, and you'll be scored and publicly reported as does not apply for all those maternity care measures, but please don't skip it. The CPOE evaluation tool is included in section two of the hospital survey and will be accessible from the survey dashboard this year as soon as you submit the profile section. In previous years, you had a complete and affirm section two. This year, with that structural change of adding BCMA and MedRec to section two, we didn't want to hold up your CPOE testing. So all you have to do is complete the profile and you'll immediately be able to access the CPOE tool. As in previous years, we're not going to use that test score until you submit the actual survey. Now let's talk about deadlines. I know you might be thinking, LeapFrog has a lot of deadlines. We do, but I want to review them all with you today. And as a reminder, please go ahead and submit those questions in the Q&A box so we can answer them. So first, June 22nd, coming right up, it's the first NHSN group deadline. This means that you need to make sure that your hospital has joined our NHSN group by June 22nd. That way we will be able to get that NHSN data, which as long as you provide a valid NHSN ID in the profile and submit the survey by June 30th. We have a lot of information about joining our group, downloading your NHSN reports on the same day that LeapFrog is going to do it once you join our group, and making sure that you do it all four times of the year, just like we do. If you have any questions about NHSN join by dates, data download dates, or what your responsibilities are related to those NHSN data, please go ahead and submit those now in the Q&A. The big deadline that everyone should have top of mind is that June 30th submission deadline. Hospitals that submit a survey by June 30th will be the first to be able to see their results. You're going to first be able to see them on July 12th on the hospital details page, and then on July 25th on our public reporting website. After July, the survey results will be updated by the fifth business day of every month to reflect new surveys that have been submitted and surveys that have been updated and resubmitted. If you don't submit your survey by June 30th, you will initially be publicly reported as declined to respond until you finally do submit that survey. July 12th, the hospital details page will go live. And as long as you submitted your survey by June 30th, you're going to be able to see your survey results on that hospital details page, as well as other information such as your NHSN data, your VON data, if that applies to you, your CMS outpatient data. All of that you'll have the chance to see on the hospital detail page on July 12th if you meet that June 30th submission deadline. So you'll basically get a couple weeks to review your survey results before they're publicly reported on July 25th. It is extremely important that you review your scored results. It is often your best chance and opportunity to identify if you've made a data entry error. So for example, if you expected to achieve LeapFrog's hand hygiene standard, and you look at your details page on July 12th and you see some achievement, that's a good indication that you should go back into the survey and look at your responses and make sure you didn't actually say no to a question that you actually meant to say yes to. We don't know what your score is expected to be, only you do. And so it's very important that you look at these scored results, and it's important that you do it right away. Hospitals at times will wait, especially if they're eligible for a hospital safety grade, until the safety grade review period to review their survey results for the first time. That's too late. Once we've pulled down the survey results on the data snapshot date, that's the snapshot data that we're going to use to calculate your safety grade. So that's why we make a lot of this information available to you very early, so you can look at it, review it. You have the opportunity to catch data entry errors or data reporting errors, correct them, and resubmit prior to the snapshot dates. The worst conversations I have are hospitals that thought they were going to be a top hospital, didn't look at their survey results until after that August 31st top hospital deadline and realized they had a data entry error. These are firm deadlines, and I can't stress enough how important it is that you look at your survey results as soon as they become available. August 31st, like I said, is that top hospital deadline. It means whatever data we have, that's what we're going to base top hospital off of. As a reminder, you can't skip any sections of the survey in order to be a top hospital. You got to answer all the questions if you're going to be eligible to be a top hospital. If you have as a goal this year to be eligible for top hospital, to be a top hospital, I highly urge you to make that June 30th deadline, look at your results on July 12th, and make sure everything's in great shape before we start looking at top hospitals on August 31st. If you're a general acute care hospital eligible for a safety grade, August 31st is also the snapshot date for the fall grade. Same thing, that data needs to be final. You shouldn't be looking at it for the first time after that data snapshot date. That's what the month of July is for. November 30th is the late submission and performance update deadline. What that means is that after November 30th, no new submissions will be accepted and the CPOE tool goes offline. So if you wanted to take a CPOE test, November 30th is the absolute last opportunity you have to do that. In addition, if your hospital met that early June 30th deadline and now you've been working to improve on something, November 30th is your last chance to tell us that. After November 30th, no performance updates can be submitted to the survey. If you submit a performance update after November 30th, we will not use that in scoring and public reporting. So please make sure if you meet that early June 30th submission deadline, you anticipate working and improving on a measure and plan to resubmit so you can get credit for that updated or improved performance. You got to do it by November 30th. That's a hard deadline, no exceptions. And then finally, January 31st is the corrections deadline. And that's 2 months for you to respond to our data review messages. It's not 2 months for you to submit performance updates. So January 31st is just the corrections deadline. The survey goes offline at midnight that night, Eastern time. All of this information and probably a little bit more that I couldn't fit on the slides is available on the deadlines webpage at leapfroggroup.org. As always, we have a deep, deep commitment to ensuring the accuracy of the data that we publicly report, because patients are making decisions on where to receive care based on these survey results. So we have several protocols in place to ensure the accuracy of survey responses. And frankly, a lot of this work also helps you. As hospitals, we want you to feel confident telling your health plan, telling employers or purchaser groups that you're negotiating with about the veracity of your leapfrog hospital survey results. And by us doing all of this extra data verification, it only adds to that veracity when you're doing business. As I mentioned, every single section of the survey online has to be affirmed before it can be submitted via the online survey tool. The affirmation is an opportunity for your CEO to say, I've reviewed everything and yes, it's correct. We have warnings built into the online survey tool, and we look not only at inconsistent responses within sections, but also between sections. We have an extensively monthly data verification process where we review every response submitted at the end of the month. We compare it to normative values, highs, lows, external data sources. And if we think we found something wrong, we will email you. Do not ignore our emails. We do need you to reply or you risk having your survey results updated depending leapfrog verification. We also do monthly documentation requests. Our trust but verify process goes something like this. On a monthly basis, we randomly select both hospitals and ambulatory surgery centers and ask them to submit documentation that just supports the responses they submitted to the survey. So you said yes to online questions and never events. Great, send us your never events policy so we can make sure online things are included. And then finally, virtual on-site data verification. For many, many years, we did on-site data verification. Then COVID happened and we moved to virtual data verification. We thought we would go back to on-site data verification this year, but we're actually gonna give it one more year and do virtual. So this will be our last year of virtual on-site data verification. And next year, we really are going back to on-site, which I'm very much looking forward to. Lots and lots and lots of important details about our data review protocols are available on our data accuracy webpage. So please go there and take a look. So now let's talk about specific updates that we applied to the survey this year. This does not encompass every update that we made to the survey this year. These are just specific key updates that we know based on help desk tickets we wanted to highlight today. For the actual changes to the survey, a comprehensive list, please go ahead and download the survey itself, which has been posted now for about a month. I'm actually just going to check really quick to make sure there are no outstanding questions. Okay. Here we go. First, structural updates. Three of them we're going to talk about today. Section updates, availability of that Take CPOE button, and the availability of that download CPT code workbook. So first, we moved all of the inpatient medication safety measures to section two, as we talked about. So now when you open section two, you're going to see CPOE and BCMA and MedRep. We also moved all the nurse staffing measures into section 6C. So last year there were two subsections in section six that included nurse staffing measures. This year they're all combined into one. And that means section six includes 6A, safe practice one, 6B, safe practice two, 6C, nursing workforce, which is now total nursing care hours per patient day, RN hours per patient day, nursing skill mix, percentage of RNs who are BSM prepared, and safe practice nine. And then section 6D is hand hygiene. So a little bit of consolidation here. Pay attention to that. You're going through the hard copy of the survey and also the online survey tool. As I mentioned, because we made that change to section two, you can now get access to the CPOE test as soon as you complete the profile. The CPOE test is only for adult and general hospitals. Pediatric hospitals don't take the test. We already have a lot of hospitals taking tests, so the change seems to be successful. If you have any questions about the CPOE test, make sure you download and review those instructions. And then as always, go ahead and contact the help desk. We've also changed the location of the download CPT code workbook. In previous years, it's been located in the library on the survey dashboard, and we don't think people were finding it very easily. You have to download the CPT code workbook in order to get the outpatient procedure codes to report on bariatric surgery, total hip replacement surgery, total knee replacement surgery, all from section 3A, as well as all of the outpatient procedures in section 9C. So the only way to answer those questions is to download the CPT code workbook. So this year, it's no longer in the library. We actually put a button right next to section 9 on the survey dashboard. So it's not in the library. It's right on the dashboard next to section 9. Just like this Take CPOE Tool button is next to section 2, the Download CPT Code Workbook button is now right next to section 9. And you will not be able to open section 9 until you download the workbook. The first time you try to download the workbook, you're going to get a pop-up asking you to accept the AMA's terms of use. You only have to do this once a year, and we do keep track of that. So those are some of the structural updates we made this year. Hopefully, they are easy to understand, and also you see them as improvements. So far, I think it's been going pretty good. Section 1, basic hospital information. We're going to be changing the name of this section next year because over the past several years, it's really grown to include a lot of important things other than basic hospital information, including billing ethics and what we're going to talk about today, informed consent. We are scoring and publicly reporting informed consent this year for both hospitals and ambulatory surgery centers. Okay, so this isn't a hospital-only standard. It's hospitals and ASCs. We worked with our national expert panel to identify which of the questions from last year's year of fact-finding were most consequential to use in scoring and public reporting. And what they decided on is to have hospitals for this year just focus on 6. So responses to these 6 questions will be used in scoring and public reporting. There's one question about policies and training. There's 3 questions about the content of the informed consent forms. And then there's 2 questions about the process for gaining informed consent. So only these 6 questions are going to be used in scoring and public reporting. However, we are removing a couple of the questions, including one focused on written policies on informed consent. And we're also retaining some questions for fact finding. So what it's going to look like when you open section 1C this year is you'll first see those 6 questions. Those will be required. That's what's going to be used in scoring and public reporting. You'll then see an optional set of questions that are going to be for fact finding only. You can just answer the first skip 6 questions and skip the optional fact-finding questions, and you'll still be able to affirm section 1 and move on. It's labeled, I think, pretty clearly, but if you have any questions about that, let us know. We want to do some additional data collection on these fact-finding questions, but envision that over time, some of these fact-finding questions will be moved to scoring and public reporting. The scoring algorithm for the informed consent standard, and this applies to actually both hospitals and ASCs, is that we're really looking for you to say yes to all of the questions, meaning that all of the forms are written at a 6th grade reading level or lower, and you're saying yes to the questions in the policies and training domain, the content of informed consent forms domain, and the process for gaining informed consent domain. There's lots of opportunities, as there always are, to earn partial credit. And again, because we typically keep these things frozen for a couple of years, if you're some achievement now, you'll have the opportunity to work towards considerable achievement or even achieving the standard over the next several years. As you're going through and filling out the hard copy of the survey, you'll notice that we link to the scoring algorithms document like a dozen times in a bunch of different places. And that's because we really want you to download that scoring algorithms document. And as you're filling out the hard copy of the survey, reference it. So before you ever hit that submit button, you know exactly what your score is going to be, right? So you fill out your paper survey. You said, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. You go to the scoring algorithm and say, well, based on these answers, where are we going to be? Maybe it's some achievement. Maybe it's considerable achievement. But you should know that before you hit that submit button. And if you have any questions about that, please contact the help desk. Before I move on and talk about medication safety, I'm just going to quickly check the Q&A, make sure there's nothing there for me, and there's not, so we are off to the races. Section 2, medication safety. In addition to making that CPOE button available to you earlier, there's some changes to the CPOE tool I wanted to make sure you're aware of. First, we moved the CPOE tool to a new platform last September. Almost every hospital that takes a survey does a CPOE test prior to August 31st. So you might not have seen that the CPOE tool moved last year. What does that mean? Everyone should take a sample test this year. Make sure you're familiar with the new platform. The navigation's a little bit different. Things look a little bit different. And you want to make sure that you can find everything before you take that adult inpatient test. Additionally, we made several content updates this year. We updated the test order library. So we updated the test medication orders based on the latest published literature. We removed the drug allergy order checking category. That's because hospitals were consistently getting 100% on that order checking category for the past several years. And we weren't really seeing improvements across the other categories. And so this is an opportunity to focus on those order checking categories that need more attention, like drug lab, drug monitoring, drug age, drug diagnosis, et cetera. We combined drug dose single and drug dose daily into a single order checking category that focuses on excessive dosing, and it will include both single and daily dose. And that's because hospitals in some cases were getting a little confused over the advice and information they were getting last year. We wanted to make sure they didn't miss the opportunity to earn credit when they were getting excessive dose information or alerts. And so that's a single category this year. And then finally, although the total number of test orders has decreased, again, because we removed those drug allergy orders, there's absolutely no change to the scoring algorithm, and you can download that and review it. In section 3, adult and pediatric complex surgery, we actually have two important changes. One focused on new procedure codes for outpatient bariatric surgery, and one on updating sampling instructions for the safe surgery checklist. So first, we have been working a lot with our national expert panel to understand, like, as practice changes, what procedures that we were preliminarily looking at from an inpatient perspective are now being done on an outpatient basis. For the past couple of years, we've been collecting both inpatient and outpatient volume for total hip and total knee procedures. And this year, the expert panel actually recommended that we add bariatric surgery to that list of procedures where we're also including outpatient volume, because bariatric surgery is moving to the outpatient space. So this year, your total hospital volume and working towards those surgeon volume standards, you'll be able to include any outpatient procedures and you'll need to use our CPT codes to count those procedures. You'll also be asked an additional question about whether or not the procedure volume represents inpatient only, outpatient only, or both, just like we do for total hip and total knee. With this change, we are also adding this procedure to our ASC survey, just like we have total hip and total knee, because that is being done on an outpatient basis. So patients have a choice of going to a hospital or going to a freestanding ASC. That choice also exists now for bariatric surgery. So beginning in 2024, people coming to our website will actually be able to compare both hospitals and ASCs that do bariatric surgery on a same-day basis. We've updated the sampling instructions for the safe surgery checklist measure. If you are only reporting on either the inpatient surgery section or the outpatient surgery section, we're asking you to sample 30 cases rather than 15. If you're reporting on both, then you can go ahead and just sample 15 from each. The inpatient surgeries and the outpatient surgery. So the majority of hospitals, thankfully, submit every section of the survey. So it's no change for you. You can just do 15 and 15. It only impacts those hospitals that are doing one or the other, inpatient surgery only or outpatient surgery only. You're going to have to do 30. As a reminder, this measure is also on our ASC survey, and ASCs are required to sample at least 30 patients and do safe surgery checklist audits. We will be sending out monthly documentation requests for this measure. So as a reminder, if you use our checklist workbooks or other documentation that you use to answer yes or no to these questions or to calculate your compliance rate, please save that because we will be doing random documentation requests this year. And it's helpful if you have that information readily available. Section 4, maternity care, two major changes. First is, over the past couple of years, we have gotten a lot of requests from purchasers, employers, and mothers that we not only collect and publicly report maternity quality data like C-sections and DVT prophylaxis, But we also get more information on services that hospitals make available. One thing that's been pointed out to us, thankfully, in some markets, you know, all the hospitals within, say, a 10 or 20 mile radius may have comparable results for early elective deliveries and C-sections and episiotomies. And what women really want to know is the availability of other services. So if quality looks to be about the same, they really want to know other information, including information about the availability of midwives and doulas, breastfeeding support, both inpatient and outpatient after discharge, the availability of vaginal delivery after cesarean section, and then also the availability of postpartum tubal ligation during the delivery visit. These questions will not be scored, but they will be publicly reported. So we're not assigning a value to the yes, no responses. We're just making the information available based on literally hundreds of requests from purchasers, employers, but specifically from mothers who are using our quality ratings. We are also adding a set of optional fact-finding questions to the NTSV section. We're asking hospitals this year if they can report on stratified C-section rates. Again, when you open section 4C, 4C, you'll see the required questions. There's a clear heading that says optional fact-finding, and then you'll see these additional stratified C-section rates. Anytime you see optional fact-finding only, it means you can skip it and you're still going to be able to affirm that section and move on. But we do hope some hospitals, since they're already doing this for U.S. News and World Reports or the California Maternal Quality Collaborative, actually submit this data to LeapFrog this year. We're very interested in it. If you have it available or if you're willing to make it available by doing the retrospective data collection, we'd love for you to report numerators and denominators for the NTSVC section measure for these racial and ethnic categories: non-Hispanic white, non-Hispanic black, non-Hispanic American Indian or Alaska Native, non-Hispanic Asian or Pacific Islander, Hispanic, non-Hispanic other, and unknown. There are some instructions and measure specifications for doing the stratification in the hard copy of the survey. It is important to note we are not allowing hospitals to sample when reporting on these measures because the denominators will be quite small. So what that means is that if you, for example, sample your NTSV C-section data through the Joint Commission, you'll not be able to use that data to report on these optional stratified C-section questions. You'll actually have to go back and do the data collection yourself. If you have any questions about that, go ahead and enter it into the Q&A, hold it till the end, or definitely submit it to our help desk. Section 6, patient safety practices. I'm gonna only focus on scoring and public reporting related to those nurse staffing and skill mix measures. But certainly, you know, take a look at all of Section 6. More could have changed, but we're just focusing on this one thing today. For the past 2 years, maybe 3 years, at least 2 years, we've been asking hospitals to respond to some optional fact-finding questions for 4 nurse staffing and skill mix measures: total nursing care hours per patient day, RN hours per patient day, nursing skill mix, and percentage of RNs who are BSN prepared. A few months ago, we actually published a benchmarking report using that fact-finding data we've been collecting in both 2021 and 2022. This year, all 4 of these measures will be scored and publicly reported on our survey results website. So after June 30th, we're going to do scoring. Starting July 12th, when you go to your details page, and then July 25th, when you go to our public reporting website, you will see scores, cell phone bars, scores for all 4 of these measures at ratings.leapfroggroup.org. Only 2 of the measures, however, are advancing to our other programs. So total nursing care hours per patient day and RN hours per patient day will be added to both the fall 2023 hospital safety grade and the value-based purchasing program this year. These 2 measures will replace Safe Practice 9, but again, all 4 will be publicly reported on our survey results website. Because we are making this change, we're also making a significant change to Safe Practice 9. We are actually only maintaining 5 of the 17 elements of the Safe Practice, because these five things are not directly captured through the existing nurse staffing and skill mix measures. I'm not going to read these five things. If you've been doing the survey, they're very familiar with you. To you, frankly, almost all hospitals have been checking these boxes for several years. But these are the only five things we're keeping related to Safe Practice 9. If you are a magnet hospital or a 2020 Pathway to Excellence hospital, you can tell us that, and then you will automatically receive full credit for saying yes to these five questions. So again, magnet and 2020 Pathways to Excellence hospitals, you can tell us that, and you'll automatically receive credit for saying yes to all five of these questions. However, this is not going to be scored and publicly reported as a standalone measure. You're not going to have one of those cell phone bar icon scores for Safe Practice 9. Instead, it's going to be used as a bonus. If you are in the bottom performance category, meaning you are at limited achievement for the nurse staffing and skill mix measures, so total nursing care hours per patient day, RN hours per patient day, or nursing skill mix, and you have full credit for Safe Practice 9, either because you said yes to all the questions, or you're a magnet hospital, or you're a 2020 Pathway to Excellence hospital, instead of being publicly reported as limited achievement, you'll be publicly reported as some achievement. So this serves to bump you up from the bottom performance category to some achievement. That could really matter, particularly when we start assigning points to these performance categories for the hospital safety grade. So this is still consequential. It's just going to be used in a slightly different way. When we're calculating total nursing care hours per patient day, please remember that this is the total number of productive hours worked by both employed and contract or agency nursing staff. We've got a number of hospitals submitted concerns that right now they're using 40 or even 60% of their nurses are contract or agency nursing staff, and they felt like they would be penalized in reporting to these measures. But as you can see, that is not the case. Because the total number of productive hours includes both employed and non-employed nursing staff for the total nursing care hours per patient day measure. We're only asking you to report on three units, medical, surgical, and med-surg. We're asking you to report this for all four quarters included in the reporting period. And to calculate benchmarks for scoring, we're gonna do the following. We're gonna sum the total number of productive hours worked by employer contract nursing staff across all of the units and all four quarters, and divided by the total number of patient days you report across all of the units and all four quarters. And that's going to result in a number of nursing care hours per patient day. We're then going to put your hospital into one of five cohorts using both teaching status, hospital type, and number of staff beds. So your hospital will be put into one of these five cohorts: small teaching, large teaching, non-teaching, pediatric, or critical access. We'll be then calculating 10th, 25th, and 50th percentiles within each of the cohorts. And that means that for the purposes of scoring, you're only going to be compared to other hospitals within your cohort. So pediatric hospitals are only going to be compared to other pediatric hospitals. Critical access hospitals are only going to be compared to other critical access hospitals. These percentiles are going to be calculated based on the results from this year's survey submitted as of June 30th. And so we will be updating that scoring algorithms document probably right around July 12th. And so then you'll be able to see the cut points that reflect June 30th submissions. To achieve the standard for total nursing care hours per patient day, the hospital's total nursing care hours per patient day needs to be greater than or equal to the 50th percentile, where higher is better, for that hospital's cohort. Now go ahead and look at the right side of my screen, and you'll see that sum achievement alternative. So as a reminder, this is where hospitals who are in the bottom performance category, meaning that the total nursing care hours per patient day is less than the 10th percentile for your cohort, but you've earned full credit on that Safe Practice, you're going to get some achievement instead of limited achievement. This is going to work in the exact same way for the RN care hours per patient day. The only difference between these two measures is one is all nurses and one is RNs only. So I'm actually not going to repeat that. The third measure is nursing skill mix. And what that looks at is the percentage of productive hours worked by RN nursing staff across all of the units and all of the quarters divided by the total number of productive nurses, productive hours worked by all nurses. So if you can picture, it's basically the productive hours worked by RNs over productive hours worked by all nurses, right? That's the nursing skill mix. But we're gonna do the same thing here. We're gonna put you into cohorts, calculate benchmarks. You're only gonna be compared to like hospitals. And in terms of scoring, same thing. We wanna see you at the 50th percentile or higher, or if you're in that bottom achievement category, that Safe Practice 9 could really come in handy and bump you up to some achievement. The last measure is the percentage of RNs who are BSN prepared. And this measure is different than the other three in a couple ways. So first, unlike the other three measures, for this one, we're only counting employed RN nursing staff. So where the other three measures, we were looking at employed and contract nursing staff, this is employed RN nursing staff only. That's the denominator. The numerator is the number of those employed RN staff at the hospital with direct patient care responsibilities. However, the other difference is, while the other three measures focused on med, surge and med-surg units only, for the percentage of our RNs who are BSN prepared, we're actually looking at almost all units within the hospital, including outpatient units, observation units, and emergency departments. Here also, because the National Academies of Medicine has set a national goal for this, we're not putting hospitals in the cohorts, and we're not using Safe Practice 9 in scoring in any way. To achieve the standard, the hospital needs to have greater than or equal to 80% of their total employed RNs having that BSN degree or higher. This recommendation comes from the National Academy of Medicine. And the most recent data we've seen shows us that nationally, we're probably at about 60%. So a lot of room and opportunity to improve here. I'm gonna stop for a minute before I talk about how survey results are used and just quickly check the Q&A to see if there's anything for me, and there is, please repeat the data validations section. Okay, so let me go back real quick. So as I mentioned, the LeapFrog Hospital Survey is a voluntary self-reported survey. And we have a trust but verify philosophy here at LeapFrog. After every section of the survey, the section will need to be affirmed by the CEO or someone designated by the CEO before the survey can be submitted. We have warnings built into the online survey tool, kind of like TurboTax, where if we find inconsistent responses within a section or between sections, you'll get a message right in the online survey tool to ask you to take a second look and make sure your responses are correct. On a monthly basis, beginning on June 30th, we review every single response submitted via the LeapFrog Hospital and the LeapFrog ASC survey, actually. And we compare those responses to normative values. So highs, lows, previous year's responses, external data sets. And if we think we found something wrong, we send you an email and we really do need you to respond to it. Additionally, on a monthly basis, we randomly select hospitals and ask them to document their responses. As I mentioned earlier, we'll be doing that a lot for safe surgery checklists this year. I strongly advise hospitals responding yes, that their consent forms are at a sixth grade reading level, that you use the assessment information we make available in an FAQ and make sure that if you're saying it, you've really tested it, because we'll be doing random monthly documentations to check that as well. Every hospital is not selected for monthly documentation. We randomly do select, and it's typically based on those measures where we can do a pretty thorough desk review. And then finally, we'll be doing virtual on-site data verification. Again, we should probably just call it virtual data verification. Hospitals selected for virtual data verification are notified by June 1st. We set up a time for a 2-hour Zoom call. You have folks on your team walk us through a handful of measures. I think last year we did episiotomy, hand hygiene, and safe surgery checklist. So we can make sure that you can demonstrate that your responses are accurate and correct. And again, much more detail than what I'm sharing with you now is available on the data accuracy webpage at leapfroggroup.org. Okay, I don't see any other questions for me. So Let's talk about how survey results were used. As I mentioned, your job is doing the data collection, improving on the measures, submitting the survey. Our job is then taking those survey results and getting them used out in the marketplace, right? So let me talk about our job. First and most important way to leapfrog, because our brand is transparency, is public reporting. Our purchaser and employer members use survey results to educate and inform their health plan enrollees. And this is typically done on an annual basis at open enrollment. They literally will print out survey results. They use the information to recognize and acknowledge both hospitals and ASCs that achieve our national standards, and also to negotiate contracts with their health plans. And that's why we ensure the accuracy of those responses, because if they're using survey results to negotiate with their health plans, embedding survey results in their member tools, using it to decide, for example, in the case of ASCs, maybe who they want to do direct contracting with, they want the assurance that we've done our due diligence to make sure your responses are correct. Consumers use our free public reporting website to compare both hospitals to each other, ASCs to each other, and then hospitals and ASCs. Health plans, transparency vendors like WebMD and others use survey results to design consumer education tools, to perform market analysis, to inform contracting decisions. And in order to do that, they license the data from the LeapFrog Group for a fee. So basically they pay us to use your information in these transformative ways, and that feeds our mission. Revenue from the data licensee supports the ongoing administration of our surveys, and very importantly, our top-notch help desk. This is a screenshot of our public reporting website. I hope against hope this isn't the first time you've ever seen it. If it is, please go to ratings.leapfroggroup.org now. It's okay if you don't look at my slides for the next couple of minutes. Go to our website. Users come here to search for hospitals and surgery centers by name, location. We have this really cool procedure type search where they can put in the type of same day adult or pediatric procedure that they need and get a list of hospitals and ASCs that do that thing, narrow the search based on their location, and actually compare up to three hospitals and ASCs side by side. We also have a guided search for consumers that need a little bit more help, may not be as tech savvy, and it sort of takes them through a bunch of questions to get them to the information they're most often looking for. And then as a reminder, both hospitals and ASCs that don't submit by that June 30th important deadline are scored and publicly reported initially as declined to respond beginning July 25th. Here's a screenshot of our procedure search. It is one of the reasons we have to collect that outpatient volume from you, is because we don't want to direct people to your hospital if you don't do the thing that they need. More than other types of hospital services, same-day surgeries are something people shop for, particularly people with high deductible health plans. You have a choice oftentimes because you're scheduling it 2, 3, sometimes even 4 weeks in advance. So the volume of procedures you report to us in section 9C feeds the search function on our website, and we get that same information from ASCs. Here's a screenshot of what it looks like if you do that procedure search. Like I said, you will get a mix of hospitals and ASCs that do the procedure that you need. You can narrow that by zip code and compare up to three side by side. You can also obviously use our guided search. And for example, if you're just looking for hospitals near you that deliver babies, you can compare up to three hospitals and their maternity care data side by side. We use cell phone bars, not stars. We use bars, not stars in public reporting. Where 4-filled bars represents achieved the standard, 3-filled bars represents considerable achievement, 2-filled bars some achievement, and 1-filled bar limited achievement. It's a way to show progress towards meeting our standards. And we would like to see a lot of 4-filled bars. We also use survey results and competitive benchmarking reports. These are reports that you can purchase from LeapFrog. It takes your survey results, so the 1, 2, 3, and 4 cell phone bars, and some of the underlying data like C-section rates and elective delivery rates, and actually re-scores them on a 0 to 100 scale. So for purposes of benchmarking, for doing presentations to your board of directors, or even on your quality and safety teams, sometimes these competitive benchmarking reports can be a little bit more effective. We color code the report so you can see at a glance for each individual measure on the survey if you're better than average, around average, or worse than average for each measure. So you can see in this example report for CPOE and BCMA, those first two measures, the hospital has a perfect score of 100. Obviously, that puts them in the green. But for MedRec, they actually have a score of 65, so that puts them in the yellow. For Safe Practice 2 culture measurement, their score is a 15, that puts them in the red, meaning it's quite low compared to other hospitals. These scores are available for your hospital on every measure, as well as a national average, a state average, and a cohort that you can select. Maybe it's bed size, maybe it's teaching status, maybe it's freestanding pediatric facility. Some of you also are eligible for hospital safety grades, and survey results are used in safety grades. A handful of the measures like hand hygiene, et cetera, go into calculating that grade. And as you know, those spring grades are coming out in just a couple of days. And then importantly, top hospital, only the highest performing hospitals on the survey are recognized each year as a top hospital. They're invited to an in-person awards ceremony. It's like the most fun we have all year. If you're thinking about being a top hospital, you can't skip any sections on the survey, and you've got to, I highly recommend that you meet that June 30th deadline so you can view your results, make any corrections, and resubmit prior to August 31st. And then more recently, we've had a national media partnership with the digital platform money.com. They're doing a series of best hospital and surgery centers lists. It's a great opportunity to have service lines within your hospital represented for being particularly outstanding. Here's a screenshot of our best maternity care list from 2022. We'll be doing this again with them next year and introducing new topics. And then finally, we hope today helps you get ready for 2023. Make sure you have a security code, download the survey materials sooner rather than later, and please take a look at those scoring algorithms. We have a lot of resources to help you be successful. Free resources include our amazing help desk, town hall calls like the one you're on today, and we have an NHSN one coming up next week, and we would love for you to join our NHSN town hall call so we can answer all of your NHSN questions. Case studies, which provide you with examples of how other hospitals have achieved our standards. And then finally, the survey binder, which is a great resource to make sure that you are collecting documentation you need to respond to each of the questions. We also have a couple paid resources. We have a monthly webinar series, which each month does a deep dive into a particular aspect of the survey. It's really good if you're new to the survey, like if the survey is your job for the first time this year, join the webinar series. You get a lot more technical support because we're meeting on a monthly basis. You can ask your questions in a timely manner, because every month we have a 30-minute office hours where you can just pop on a Zoom, talk to us, ask questions, review stuff throughout the survey year. So we have great participation in our webinar series. I would highly encourage all of you to join. I do a lot of those presentations. It's really fun. Also this year, we're offering health system support. We've gotten just a lot of requests from health systems to make it a little bit easier for them to manage their hospital's data, because in some cases we're talking about 60, 80, 150 hospitals. So we now have a data subscription designed specifically for people whose job it is to coordinate survey stuff and safety grade stuff for their entire health system. It's a series of really easy to use Excel files. We distribute them on a timely manner throughout the year, and you can find more information on our website. I promised you that we would have time for a live Q&A, and so we are gonna do that right now. If you have a question that you didn't ask through the Q&A pop-up and you wanna ask now, go ahead and raise your hand and I will unmute you, and then you will be able to ask your question. And I see Judy has her hand up. So Judy, you should be unmuted. You can go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah. Hi, I'm sorry, Missy. I must have hit the lower hand, the raise hand button by mistake. I actually don't have a question, but always lovely speaking with you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hi. Great to hear from you as well. I don't know how to put it. Oh, I can lower it for you. There you go.
I think I just did, or I tried.
Okay. No problem. Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay. All right, Josie, I see your hand up. So I'm going to try this again. No, it's gone. No, I see a real one. Okay. Josie. You should be able to go ahead and ask your question.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly.
Perfect. So my question is on 6C. Mm-hmm. If we do not complete, if we say no to the total nursing care hours per patient day and the RN hours mm-hmm. per patient day, is that going to affect the letter grade or is it just going to affect the bar grade where it's going to give us a limited achievement?
No, so it means that, so for the purposes of the safety grade, what we're going to do for the nurse staffing and skill mix measures, those two measures is we're going to take the performance category that you've earned and assign points to it. So if you think about it, it's exactly what we do for CPOE, where achieve the standard is 100 points for the safety grade. Considerable achievement is 70 points for the safety grade. Some achievement is 40 points for the safety grade and limited achievement is 15 points for the safety grade. We're going to do something like that. It won't necessarily be those points, but that concept. So if you have limited achievement because you said no to that question, then you'll get the points that we assign to that limited achievement performance category. And that's what will be used to calculate your safety grade. Does that make sense?
It does. Thank you so much for explaining that. We will make sure we complete it.
Yeah, that was a great question. Okay, now that we've had a successful example of raising hands and unmuting, if anybody else has a question, please go ahead and raise your hand or you can continue to enter it into the Q&A box as well. I know we're over time, but I'm gonna give folks just like one more minute because this was a ton of information and I try to go really fast and we still kind of ran out of time, but we wanna make sure you have answers to all your questions before you leave today. So I'm gonna, 10 more seconds, 9 more seconds. Oh, I see one. All right, April. April, go ahead. April, if you have a question, we should be able to hear you. Okay, April, I can't hear you, but if you wanna go ahead and submit your ticket question to the help desk, or you can also submit it to the Q&A. Okay, I am gonna go ahead then and thank you all for joining us today. I have that help desk URL up right here. Oh. We're really excited about 2023, particularly our new informed consent standard. And if you have a question, do not hesitate to submit it to the help desk. We have hospitals that submit 10, 20, 30, 40 questions to the help desk during the survey cycle. We'd rather you ask before you answer the question. So please go ahead and do that. Thank you all for your time today. We really appreciated it. We have the NHSN webinar coming up, so please do join. If we didn't get to your question today, like I said, please do go ahead and submit it to the help desk. Thanks so much, everyone. Bye-bye.